It's time for some bizarre news, and bizarre news comes from all around the world, but a lot of it comes from two particular countries. Paul Bryce joins us now, blind journalist Paul Bryce, hello.
Let's see if you can guess which they are.
Well, lately we've had quite a lot of stories from over Russia, haven't we,
China. Russia and
China.
And China, yes, these are bringers of great stories, and people, before anybody writes in about bias or anything like that, it's just the cards I'm dealt, so... there you are. That's just what it is. Of course, if you have suggestions, please send them in. We'll give you details at the end.
But it gives you an idea of the way different cultures work, though, doesn't it, sometimes?
Well, it does. It does. And this one signifies bizarre news, if ever I heard it.
Mm.
Because there's a bit of confusion going on that the Russians appear to have given a lake to Kazakhstan.
Really?
But nobody seems to know what's going on. The Russians say they haven't. The Kazakhs say they have.
How can you give a lake to somebody?
Well, it's all apparently to do with the border. And the lake has dried up at the moment. Lake Slatskoy, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dried up. And so the border has disappeared. So they've got people in doing demarcation work at the moment to redraw the borders. And it's all very confusing as to who's done what. And it's a bit like, you know, this is how wars start, because, you know, over such things, over a lake.
Even less?
Even less, indeed. But
wouldn't it be great if we all just lived in one big borderless country? In an ideal world?
The Liberal Party will love to hear you say that. You're their official spokesman.
People that make borders, though, they wouldn't like that, would they?
No, they wouldn't. No, no, indeed. So... There it is. There's not really much to say. It is quite complex to follow. It's out there if you want to. But the basics are that one says they have and the other says they haven't. And it's very difficult to work out which is which.
Yeah, I wonder how they'll resolve it.
Fill it up with water.
And not let anybody go on it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's basically one suggestion.
Interesting.
But, we shall see. We shall see. And as if to bear out my theory, we're going to China for our next story.
Yes. Not literally, obviously.
Not literally, but it's a lovely, heartwarming story that has potential... Well, it had potentially nasty ending, but it has a very happy ending. A man decided to propose to his girlfriend on the first anniversary of their being together.
Oh.
And he was in a noodle restaurant... And he went to take a call from her, and his bag was stolen while this call was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And the bag contained the engagement ring.
Oh, dear.
So devastation upon devastation, as you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But a kind soul, good Samaritan, handed the bag back to the restaurateur, and the man went back to the restaurant, you know, just to check, is my bag being handed in? And then there it was. And so grateful was he that he paid for 5,000 people, read me on writing, 5,000 people to eat a bowl of noodles on his behalf as a thank you.
I presume that's generous.
I would imagine so, yes. I don't know the price of spicy noodles, but...
I don't know, as a reward, if somebody handed me spicy noodles, I might think, thank you. But then I'm not in China, am I?
No, and you
so
don't have
go.
To live... Yeah, so... And needless to say, she did actually accept his proposal, so they are going to get married.
Was the ring still there?
Yes, the ring was there.
So who took the bag? What's the point of stealing a bag and not stealing anything in it?
Just somebody picked the bag up. I think it wasn't a case of it being stolen. I think somebody just picked it up by complete accident.
Well, that's heartwarming, that is, actually.
Yeah, it's a lovely story, and I thought, well, we'd have it in the show. And it just shows that the goodness of people still exists.
Most stories like that, kind of things like that with me, don't end like that. not engagement stories, but
I was going to say, I wonder where that was going with the Lonely Hearts column.
Well, you know, still time.
You're a young man.
So what's he doing now? Is he going to get married then?
Yeah, going to get married, and he wrote a big thank you letter to everybody involved and thanked the restaurant and the world, and the world is a wonderful place now for him.
Yeah, well, that'll wear off.
Mr. Wong. That is his name, by the way, Mr. Wong.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Anyway, we'll move on before I get us into trouble. And this is actually quite a serious story about a Soviet-era anti-aircraft missile that was discovered and actually blew up in a recycling plant, which didn't go down well because it killed two people and injured one, I think. And There's all sorts of stuff going on about, well, how did it get to a recycling plant in the first place? Because this thing's 7 tons and 35 feet long. So,
Seven tons?
Can you imagine? And it basically, it's all to do with scrappage. And, because it's valuable stuff. And there's hundreds and hundreds of these missiles that were made. And they're all over the place.
I know, we find that round the studio here. There was a bomb dug up, they thought, fairly recent, last couple of years. It seems to happen quite often. You think, how many bombs were dropped and missiles sent that never actually exploded?
Yeah, and there was quite a spate of them, particularly off the coast here. Yeah. I know around the British coast, people dredging the sea and all sorts of stuff. And the size of these things... Mm. You know, even them just landing would be enough to do damage, not let alone them going off.
I should ban them.
I think you're absolutely right.
So, what's the outcome of this then?
There's a sort of outrage of what the heck are we still doing with lots of these hanging around. Mm. And
the legacy of war, isn't it?
The legacy, yeah, pretty much.
Well, or war-minded nations.
Yes. Yeah.
You look at the places in where minefields have been... Laying in the
Cambodia and Laos and places like that. I know you have a friend in
And you think, Cambodia. They've done tremendous work to clear these, but you still, I think, you wouldn't want your children running about.
No.
I don't know.
You really wouldn't.
Just leaves a permanent scar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this has got very serious.
It has, and we're sort of going to finish, if you like, this week on an interesting note, because a Hong Kong politician has...
Hong Kong City?
I don't think it was him. This chap's called Michael Lee, which is not a very Hong Kong-sounding name, you would think. Mm. But there you are. But he is part of the Hong Kong Parliament, and he's standing up for the workers by suggesting that there should be a rule for housekeepers to allow their domestic staff to switch on air conditioning.
Oh, I see. What, are they not allowed to do that?
They've got to... Well, they're not allowed to
do anything. I suppose you would ask anybody's permission, would you not?
Well, you should ask permission. I mean, the average temperature, I didn't know this in Hong Kong, in the summer is 31 degrees.
Get out.
You know, and that's hot. And if you're doing domestic work, that's heavy work. And if you can't have any air conditioning on, what conditions are these people living in, you know? Some people are actually forced to sleep in... bathrooms and on balconies and all sorts of things, because it stipulates you must stay with your employer. Mm-hmm. And they can't even, people can't even switch jobs. So they've got a lot of runaway migrants, which, you know, is incredible to think that we're still having things like this going on today.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at that and you think that even Great Britain has moved on so much in a lot of things. And then you heard these stories fairly recently of slavery, basically.
Mm, yes.
And it boggles the mind, doesn't it?
It's
not that we're comparing that to...
No,
what you
no,
know.
Obviously
it's
not,
a different culture and a different kind of way of doing things. But you can tend to... you wonder how these things go unnoticed or why people get trapped like that. But obviously they do.
Yeah, and it's just... It would appear to be as prevalent to now today as it ever was.
Mm.
But there we are. There endeth the lesson.
Well, I hope we've cheered you up with that.
I'm not sure what we've done.
if you've got a bizarre news story, or even you just want to say hello, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, we would. You can try our email address, radio@rnib.org.uk.
And, of course, don't forget the website.
Ah, yes. Search for RNIB Connect Radio, and you'll find us there.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.